You are listening to The Vitals, a bi-monthly podcast for all things oncology nursing. For even more content, check out oncologynursingnews.com or find Oncology Nursing News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Hi everyone, this is Lindsay Fisher, Associate Editor at Oncology Nursing News. For this episode of The Vitals, we spoke with Stephanie Jackson to discuss key takeaways from her recent presentation at the 6th Annual School of Nursing Oncology meeting. Jackson, who is a certified oncology and bone marrow transplant clinical nurse specialist and unit director at UCLA Medical Center, presented on advances in the treatment of leukemia and highlighted how nurses can practice at the top of their licensure in the context of many positive pharmaceutical updates.
I'm Stephanie Jackson. I am currently a unit director at UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles, California. Formerly a clinical nurse specialist for many years and have been in the field of hematology for 22 years now.
And so recently the FDA approved ivosidenib and azacitidine for patients with newly diagnosed AML with IDH1 mutations. Have you used this in your practice? What should nurses be aware of when prescribing or treating patients with this regimen?
Yes. So we definitely are using this in our practice here at UCLA. And I would definitely say the two biggest side effects that nurses should be aware of when managing these patients are differentiation syndrome and also QT prolongation. So with differentiation syndrome, even though this is an oral agent, it is one of the major side effects of this therapy that can be seen anywhere from 1 day to 3 months after starting treatment. And with differentiation syndrome, these patients start to have fevers. Once they have count recovery, they start to have congestion in the chest that could be indicative of differentiation syndrome. And it's really important that steroids are started in a timely manner. In terms of QT prolongation, this is definitely something that nurses should be aware of. And when taking care of these patients, if for any reason the patient starts complaining of chest pain, palpitations, this is something that should be taken serious, and it may be indicative of needing to stop the treatment. So these are two things that nurses really need to have a keen assessment skills, taking anything the patient or family may verbalize very seriously so that it can be treated in a timely manner.
Wonderful. Thank you. And similarly, the FDA also approved brexucabtagene autolucel for relapse refractory B-acute lymphocytic leukemia. Could you comment on this approval and where the field of CAR T is moving for patients with leukemia?
This is a very exciting time. So this was a second generation CAR T that was approved in 2020 as a result of the ZUMA-2 trial. And what this trial really showed is that there were 74 patients that were enrolled. We did infuse 68 patients on this trial, and 85% had an overall response rate, and 59% had complete remission. So very exciting. So it was approved at an accelerated rate, and these are for patients that either have relapsed or refractory mantle cell lymphoma, but then also in the field of hematology, CD19 positive B-cell ALL. And really where I see CAR T going, and even when you look into the literature, it's going toward allo CAR T, because right now, currently, there's only a few centers that offer CAR T. It takes 3 to 4 weeks to be able to manufacture the cells once they're collected from the patient. And as you know, there's not many patients that may be eligible for this particular therapy. And so with that being said, the other thing to think about in the current way that we offer CAR T, it's very expensive. It's over $1 million treatment. And so this in itself is very dissatisfying, even for us as providers, that we know that patients may be eligible, but are they eligible to be able to get to these centers that offer CAR T and be able to afford the expense of it, even when it is covered by insurance? It's a huge strain on the patient as well as the family. So we are now going to be moving to allo CAR T. There's 3 trials that are currently open. And so with this being said, allo CAR T will already be manufactured, and not, there'll be less of a wait time for patients, and it'll be something that more centers will be able to offer if and when it's FDA approved. So very exciting.
Yeah, that's great. That is exciting. And for patients with CLL, the treatment paradigm has expanded beyond continuous treatment with BTK inhibitors with the addition of time-limited regimen of venetoclax plus obinutuzumab, and there are numerous other therapies under exploration. What factors are important to consider when choosing a treatment approach for this patient population?
There's really four buckets that I put the challenges and things that we as providers need to think about. CLL, these patients are usually older. But most of these patients are between 50 and 70 and sometimes even older when they're diagnosed. The four things we need to be mindful of is when we're thinking about treatment, what are the patient's other comorbidities? You know, are you dealing with heart disease, liver disease, kidney disease that can impact treatment? The other piece we need to think about is drug adherence. Many of these drugs are oral agents, and so we assume when we send these patients home to take these oral treatments that they're compliant. But oftentimes, once they begin to have side effects, they're no longer taking them. And these are drugs that need to be taken at the prescribed time every day, or this disease starts to replicate. The other piece is now we're in the era of monoclonal antibodies. And so with that being said, many of these monoclonal antibodies, obinutuzumab being one, there's a risk for anaphylaxis, especially with first infusion. This requires family to transport these patients to medical centers where sometimes they're staying there 4 to 5 hours for treatment. And so it's really important that we consider that and the side effects when we are thinking about what's the best treatment for the patient beyond the prognostic factors and biomarkers. The other piece to think about is, are they eligible to be inpatient, or is this a treatment that could be safely administered in the outpatient setting? So those are all factors that we need to think about, as well as the family support. You know, I am a huge proponent that even though we may be treating the patient in front of us, we're also treating that family connected to them. And will it be a strain on that family to transport this patient back and forth? It may be a patient that we need to have admitted into the inpatient setting so that we can have eyes on that patient for 24 hours and not putting the burden on the family to bring them to the outpatient setting and transporting them back and forth and being the eyes and ears for us at home. And they may not be able to be aware or report the side effects that the patient may have once they leave the medical center.
Those are really all really good and important factors to consider. Thank you. To shift more into the prognostic factors, how is prognostic marker testing playing a role in treatment decision-making? And what is the nurse's role in biomarker testing?
I am so excited because, like I said, I've been in this over 2 decades. And, you know, the world of solid oncology has seen this for many years, but hematology hasn't. But over the last 10 years, we've seen so much improvements with therapy. When you think about FILLY positive ALL, FLT3, IDH1, JAK2, these are all biomarkers that we look at to determine the best treatment for patients. Historically, if you had AML, you got this treatment. You had ALL, you got this treatment. Now with these biomarkers, we can now be more prescriptive in what's the best treatment because you're targeting that genetic mutation that's driving the cancer. So it's very exciting. And so I would definitely say for nurses, it's important for them to know what is the biomarker that we're treating this particular cancer with, and being aware of what the side effects are so that we can be able to report any side effects that the patient may have, but also educating the patient. Nurses are there 12 hours with patients. When our medical team rounds, they're there sometimes 5 to 10 minutes, unless they need to really educate the patient more on their disease or if the family has questions. And so it's really important that nurses are familiar with all of these new FDA approved drugs, so that they can reinforce, why are we given this treatment? And not just the historic 7+3, 7 days of cytarabine, 3 days of daunorubicin. But now we've added FLT3 positive drugs, midostaurin. You know, these are all of the advances we're seeing in the field of hematology, and it's really important that nurses are practicing to the top of their licensure, getting themselves certified so they can be aware, why are we doing this treatment versus this other treatment?
What are you most excited about right now in the field of leukemia?
I will definitely say everything we've talked about. It is an exciting time. You know, I think about patients I treated when I first came into this field that died. You know, you went through so many treatments and these patients had so much hope, whether they were young or even elderly. And now to see drugs that are being approved for 75-year-olds newly diagnosed that are tolerable, like alpha-sitmonib, you know, all these midostaurin drugs, when you think about Vyxeos, but it really takes a nurse that is knowledgeable of the drugs, knows the side effects, and really are partnering with the interdisciplinary team to make sure that we can get these patients through this treatment. So I would definitely say, you know, that's what I'm excited about. I'm seeing many of my patients living much longer, being able to have treatments like CAR-T. We've done a few of the allo CAR-T treatments here, and it's just really exciting to see where the field of hematology is going.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Vitals. Be sure to never miss a beat with Oncology Nursing News.